Well, I hope we're on now, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea broadcasting live from the capital of soon-to-be Liberty State. No, maybe not. There's a big argument over that still. Spokane Valley, brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news, not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. And sorry for the technical issue. There was some issue connecting today, so... anyway, our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ, and we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. As Luke 17, 20 through 21 says, "Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is inside you,' or 'in your midst,' in some translations." Why is this so incredibly important to understand that? Because Jesus Christ himself has the title deed to this earth. He actually bought and paid for it with his blood on the cross. And there are people out there today who think that the dominion of Christ is somehow anti-American or somehow nefarious, even though it's a central, and this is critical, a central Christian doctrine. That Jesus Christ suffered, died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And if you maybe have questions about that, there's a couple of, I think, important Bible verses to take a look at. The first is Psalm 2, 6 through 8, and then Revelations 5, 1. But Psalm 2, 6 through 8 says, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession,'" which was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Interestingly, some people again try to take that and make it nefarious, but they obviously haven't read the scripture. And what they are essentially saying is that the dominion of Christ on this earth, that idea, they try to say is not Christian, when in fact what they're doing is effectively saying they don't believe in Christianity, or they don't believe that Christ's sacrifice was enough for us, that his salvation actually bought and paid for, not just our souls that give our lives to Jesus Christ, but also he was given the title deed of this earth. So you can take a look at those two verses. Again, Revelations 5, 1, Psalms 2, 6 through 8. Have a great discussion around your table. But either way, what I have discovered is that most people who try to say that the kingdom of Jesus Christ, or even talking about it, is somehow hate speech or something, haven't either A, read the Bible, or B, really don't understand central doctrines of Christianity that all denominations, by the way, all denominations really would share. Well, I'm glad to be back after traveling for the last 4 weeks, talking to a lot of people all over the place. One encouraging thing is Americans are waking up. They're waking up to the smears of the Antifa socialists and Marxists and the Antifa sympathizers, those people who would align themselves with Antifa, although try to call themselves Christians or patriots, try to align themselves with Antifa and sympathize with Antifa, have direct connections with Antifa, try to justify that. But there really is no justification for working with Marxists whose sole goal, as Karl Marx said, as Vladimir Lenin then followed, as Joseph Stalin then followed that, their sole idea is to abolish private property and morality and all absolute truth and religion. Those are the two main goals of the Marxists. You can read it in Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto if you don't believe me. The fact is, though, that people that are aligning with that, that are enabling that, that are sympathizing with that, are actually going against this constitutional republic, and they're going against the church, the body of Jesus Christ. And it's important, we forgive them, we bless them, but We stand on the truth, and we do so unashamedly. I think it's important to understand the time that we live in. There are going to be these people that decide to, for whatever rationalization in their mind, decide to try to destroy good people and good Christians. And businesses that are Christians or support Christians, these people are going to try to do this. And the Bible is very clear that these times would come. Because they've happened over the last 2,000 years on multiple occasions. It's not like this is something new. But we as Christians, we have a choice. We either believe that the God of the universe knew the plan before the beginning of time. His Son has dominion over this earth. Holy Spirit is indwelling the believer, and that God can work through us to bless a lot of people. Or you have a choice of believing in the schemes of men, the plans of men, the fallacies of men, the atheism and statism of men, which, by the way, has led to the greatest mass murder of human beings in the history of the world, this belief system of Marxism. So there is no more sitting on the sidelines. Christians in America are the largest voting bloc in America. They're also the largest voting bloc in America that's not registered to vote. They're also the largest voting bloc in America that is registered to vote but then doesn't vote. You're talking thousands and thousands of people who don't believe the commandment that Jesus Christ said to preach the gospel to all creation, and all in the Greek means all, and said also to make disciples of all nations, and that politics really is a mission field. It's one way, not the only way, not something we should overly focus on, but we certainly need to do our duty. People have asked, you know, as you travel around, I mean, what do you see? Are people really waking up? Yeah, they really are waking up. They want to know the truth. They know something's wrong. They know the Marxists and socialists and their sympathizers are wrong. They know a lot of them that try to claim that they're Christians are wrong. But they don't know what to do about it. And we're going to talk a little bit about that with my guest today, but also, I think it's pretty simple, okay? Somebody actually asked me at a presentation recently, do you think there can be such a thing as a socialist Christian? I said, well, Jesus Christ followed the law perfectly. And the Ten Commandments say that you shall not envy and you shall not steal. And socialism, Marxism, is rooted in evil, is rooted in theft and envy. In fact, as I was saying, Karl Marx specifically said that one of the goals of communism, that one of the goals of Marxism, was to abolish private property. That is theft. It's a core tenet of these people. So then I looked at this person and I said, in Jesus Christ, he was perfect. He didn't violate the law, so he could never have been a socialist. And they never heard that before. And it's that simple, folks. The idea that you can take from one group of people and give it to another group of people with the force of government. But if that was the same two people on the street, you'd be like, no, you can't do that. That's stealing. It's that crystal clear. It's also clear, too, that the attempt by some of these folks to hate on Christian conservatives, but then project onto Christian conservatives that they are somehow haters of everybody else, just simply not true. It can't be true. I mean, look at all the missionaries we send overseas. Look at all the mission work that we do in other countries, but also on the streets here in America with great programs like Union Gospel Mission. My goodness, the entire Altmaier family has effectively dedicated themselves to the mission field of this community. So if we understand that, then these issues become very simple. Doesn't make them easy, but they become very simple. People try to when people try to make issues complex, remember back to the Garden of Eden. Satan tried to make the issue of death complex, right? He tried to trick by saying, well, you're not going to die because it's a more complex issue, right? Be careful with that. A lot of these things are really that simple. So, for example, Muslim Student Association has its Pledge of Allegiance. In that Pledge of Allegiance, they say that jihad is their spirit. You look up jihad, the meaning of it, in the Reliance of the Traveler, one of the foremost law books in Sunni Islam, with the Al-Azhar University stamp of approval on there. It's kind of the gold standard. And jihad is defined as warfare against non-Muslims, Christians and Jews. So warfare against Christians and Jews is their spirit. Warfare against Christ is their spirit. And that describes somebody that the Bible clearly lays out as the Antichrist. So the discernment points here are really that simple for Christians on a lot of issues. But you still have to forgive them. You still have to love them. Still have to figure out ways to preach the gospel to them. And that is what it means to truly be a Christian. You're not giving ground at all. You're fighting in the spiritual realm. You're loving and forgiving them in the physical realm. But you're also saying that very clearly, here's the standard set out in Scripture. The Bible means what it says. That's wrong. But I want to walk with you through your struggle. That's the hard part. All right, now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Trump, this coming to us from Debka File. Trump pivots on northern Syria. Some troops to stay, one air base retained. Only some of these 1,000 U.S. troops are on their way out of northern Syria will actually leave. Others will remain to keep the Bashar al-Assad regime and Iranian forces away. Apparently, away from the Syrian oil fields that are now occupied by the Kurds and the United States. So that was decided on apparently earlier today. Erdogan has notified Trump that Turkey's Syria operation is over. So apparently that has actually stuck what they've negotiated, at least up to this point. Looks like Israel is still struggling to form a government. Benjamin Netanyahu, I've been really keeping my eye on that because there's some critical things that can come out of that. But just a couple of days ago, Netanyahu returned the premiership mandate to the president because he couldn't form a new government. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Israel. I mean, wow, you know, so much happening in the United States that all these things in the Middle East really, you know, have an influence on. That's one of the big ones, I think. All right, in the international front as well, and just a reminder on a couple of things. So remember that the Kashmir autonomy was removed and troops moved in. Also remember that the Ukraine had a politician, and this was not widely reported actually in the United States, but Ukraine had a member of parliament actually hold a press conference saying, quote, they had the documents to prove the connection between Joe Biden, his son, and Burisma. Almost had no play here. The allegation was that $900,000 had been paid directly to Joe Biden. It's a little shocking that we haven't heard more about this in the news. here locally, but, you know, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise. Next week, by the way, before I forget, next week there's going to be the Church of Planned Parenthood again, and hopefully we can talk a little bit about that before this anniversary of the Church of Planned Parenthood that's about to happen. All right, on the national front, a few things. First of all, Planned Parenthood, okay, this is so horrific. So if you have kids in the room, take them out. In fact, I'm going to go back to the international front for a second while you do that. This is coming to us from Breitbart. Thousands of tractors shut down roads in farmers' protest in Holland. If you haven't seen this, I posted it on my Facebook page. It's actually quite encouraging that they just finally said this green, anti-green madness is enough. And thousands of farmers shut down the highways in a slow-go protest converging on the Dutch capital about a week ago, Monday. But it wasn't reported on by a lot of folks, and I think that's something that we should keep our eyes on. Finally, people are being fed up in Europe in places like Holland. Wow. Also, I'm going back to the national front now to talk about this. This is horrific. So there's a trial going on in regards to Planned Parenthood and what Planned Parenthood has actually been doing. And I've seen a lot of things out there, a lot of people making arguments, specifically for abortion. But Life Legal Defense Fund has this article talking about, at the Planned Parenthood trial, a witness testified that they were actually scalping babies. That they were scalping babies and taking their scalps and grafting them onto immune-suppressed mice and then using various pharmaceuticals on those mice to test the effect on treating things like baldness. I don't even know what to say about that. Abortion needs to be abolished. The fact that they were scalping little babies, you can see it on the Life Legal Defense Fund site, is beyond horrific. And it's happening here in America. Wow. It just breaks your heart. You know, reading that stuff just breaks your heart. Sometimes you don't even want to know that they're actually doing that. Wow. All right. Also on the national front, got a few things that I just want to make you apprised of, and then we'll get to our guest. So, locally, I have my recommendations for the elections for what's coming up. And I want to go through those briefly just so that you know what is actually happening. But before I do that, I want to hit two specific issues. One is on regards to education. The Epoch Times, Alex Newman article about public schools replacing Christianity with collectivist humanism as part of the whole socialist Marxist point. I cannot stress enough that people should look at Christian private school. There are plenty of good ones in this area. And should look at homeschooling through things like Freedom Project Education. There's many others out there. And I think that this is a critical point in history, that if we keep sending kids to be indoctrinated against this country, what are we expecting the results going to end up being? That we need to train up our children in the way they should go. That there shouldn't be a big argument about this. It just should be simple. And then there are enough resources out there for parents that are struggling too with either time or money or both. So please take a look at that and make sure you're counting the cost of what is going on right now. I know this is a very sensitive issue to a lot of people. The fact of the matter is, as I travel around, there are new organizations cropping up to make sure Christians can get an education. There are at least three national organizations I know of doing a fantastic job. Freedom Project Education is doing it digitally. Some of the best professors that are in the country. All right, I'm going to move now to the local front and my take on elections. First, I'm going to talk about ballot measures. Look, I-976 brings us back to $30 car tabs because they've been trying to erode that for years. Unbelievably, the mainstream Republicans of Washington oppose the initiative, and then the NorthwestProgressive.org, a Marxist-affiliated organization, prints the article about the mainstream Republicans going against 976. What? Really? This is why people get frustrated with Republicans. You know, people don't know what they believe. I mean, it was a promise to do $30 tabs, not to erode it over a period of years for bureaucratic schemes and legislative schemes. Also on the ballot is Referendum 88 on Initiative 1000. Initiative 1000 is the one I spoke about earlier this year that removes veteran preferences, and actually nonpartisan staff agreed with that assessment in Olympia. And an ex-governor implied that being a veteran is not actually a qualification. I mean, offending so many people that have fought for this country, served this country honorably. So vote reject on Referendum 88. All right. Constitutional amendment is SJR 8200. Vote no. I strongly oppose this measure in the legislature. It does not define the word catastrophic incident, but adds it into the state constitution to allow the governor to trigger an emergency for potentially light and transient causes, because catastrophic isn't defined. And the way that it's written opens the way for legislative leaders, read Democrats in Seattle, to change the location of the state capitol, appoint legislators and local government officials to represent you, pass bills without the normal legislative process. Effectively, the concentration of power in the hands of a few individuals. That's the very seeds of tyranny. Horrible constitutional amendment. Vote no. Tell all your friends and family about it. Spokane Proposition 1, I was recommending a yes vote to make all collective bargaining transparent. And Spokane Proposition 2, vote yes, that would ban any income tax at the city level, because a court apparently thinks, after all the Supreme Court rulings saying that there can't be an income tax, apparently thinks that there's a way around it. I want to talk about the city council races in Spokane Valley. Now, it's important, everybody out there listening, there is a group of socialists masquerading as moderates, moderate Republicans, that are trying to take over the city of Spokane Valley. They're all endorsed by the progressive, read socialist or Marxist, voter guide. And they have been working with so-called or fraudulently named Republicans locally to get rid of conservatives on that city council. You've got three positions: Michelle Rasmussen, Arnie Woodard, and Bo Tucker. My opinion, they all have very solid worldviews and understand fiscal conservatism. But really pay attention to this stuff. They are trying. There's a group out there that is trying to fool the voters of Spokane Valley. Don't fall for it. These are the people that have been attacking the true conservatives and the true Christians in a lot of these races locally for the last several years. And it is centered around the indivisible progressive movement in Spokane Valley, which is directly linked to the Marxists and the socialists and that entire movement. So don't think that the socialist trying to take over the country is just out there somewhere. It is in our backyard right now. Pay attention. Pay attention. in the city of Spokane. Take a look at Tim Benn and Tony Keepy, two longtime great local leaders as well, who are trying to fight back in the city of Spokane. And that is the briefing. Remember, next week, Church of Planned Parenthood on Wednesday. And it's the church at Planned Parenthood. An excellent opportunity to stand on the line in a loving way and say, what's going on over there is wrong. And it is wrong. It should break all our hearts that they're scalping babies. My goodness gracious, how horrific is that? Wow. All right. My guest today is Elaine Willman. Elaine Willman is the author of Going to Pieces, The Dismantling of the United States of America, first published in 2005. She is of Native American heritage, has been a very staunch supporter of private property rights, and been a very articulate defender of all those values that have made America great. Elaine, thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Matt, and it's just a joy to hear you. And I just so wish Montana had anyone like you helping our state. You're just such a blessing to the state of Washington. And so, well, I'm quite a fan.
Well, Elaine, thank you. I think you're a blessing to everybody across the United States of America for everything that you've done. Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, I just want to say, you know, what is happening right now in Montana that you're kind of facing on the ground that you think our listeners need to know? I just want to leave that kind of open-ended.
Well, we have a major water compact that was put together by the federal government, the state of Montana, and the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribe. Those three governmental agencies crafted a water compact wherein the state of Montana has given a control of state waters in 11 counties bordering Idaho, all the Montana counties bordering the state of Idaho. Those state waters are now under the control of a small tribe here, thanks to the state of Montana's Governor Bullock and our legislature. And in doing so, in forging that compact, what is entirely missing is the voice of and the needs of our farmers and cattlemen and property owners on and off the reservation. There are no protections or considerations for these landowners that have to have water for their livelihood. And they are now all going to be, if this compact goes forward, they are all going to be answerable to a tribal government that doesn't even allow them to attend the meetings and never clued them in on what was done to them. So it's quite a travesty, but it was the federal government and the state of Montana that are the bigger culprits than the tribe even. The tribe is just benefiting from this. So it's pretty disgusting that the state has done this. And just for good measure, the state threw $55 million tax dollars into this compact to help the tribes with taking over our state waters as well. So that was all approved by the state legislature in April 2015. Fortunately, it's sitting rather dormant. It has to be approved by Congress, and Senator Tester attempted that in 2016. Submitted a bill to Congress, but it died in committee. He's now promised to submit it again, but hasn't done so far. And legally, it cannot be implemented until it is discussed and approved by Congress. But the state and the tribe have already implemented little components of it. So that's our biggest problem over here right now.
Do you think ultimately that there is a push by some of these folks that are, I would call, the deep state, that have been trying to undermine the Trump administration, are trying to really push kind of a veto power by tribes over the water rights in the Western United States, and also over kind of land rights to a certain extent?
Yes. And I see the federal government, if you look at the map of the Western states and all the federal land in the Western states, which is substantial, I see the federal government using these tribal and reservations and increasing acquisition of land by tribes I see them as the pawns of the federal government to further federalize the states and to further diminish state sovereign authority over its land and natural resources, including water. That has been a total disaster for Washington State, more so than any other state. You have 29 or 31 tribes over there now, and they essentially control the water, the fishing, the a lot of the natural resources, and they're... I want to say that since Governor Lowry created a state, a government-to-government relationship with the tribes in the state of Washington in 1989, 1 year after gaming came on, of course, since Governor Lowry and every governor since has absolutely been subservient to those tribes in Washington State, to a point where my opinion today of Washington State is that too many of your decision-makers over there, you excluded, of course, consider tribal sovereign authority superior to state sovereign authority. And that is so wrong, and it has really taken its toll on the state of Washington. So I have to, unfortunately, I grew up in Spokane. I love Washington State, but I have to hold it out as a poster child of everything wrong with the federal government and Indian policy and its impact on states and landowners.
Well, you sent an open letter to President Donald Trump about Indian policy and in the history of what has happened. Most people don't know that in 1924, under the Snyder Act, that American Indians were made full citizens of the United States of America. Kind of intuitively, maybe you know that because, you know, if there's a draft, you know, Native Americans are not exempt from that. And there were plenty that fought in World War II. But what has gone wrong over the years, and what needs to be corrected to restore kind of the balance? Because I think it's very clear, according to history, that some tribes were treated very horribly. I think it's also clear, according to history, that there is some land that was very specifically and legitimately established by settlers, and that seems to be ignored as part of the equation, too. So if you could talk us through all of that.
Well, it really starts a little earlier. If you look at our Constitution, it was our 13 colonies or states that created the federal government, and there was always an intended balance between state authority and federal authority. That started changing in 1803, when Chief Justice John Marshall came up with Marbury versus Madison and said the Supreme Court will determine what the law is based on the Constitution. That same Chief Justice, John Marshall, was on the Supreme Court for 30 years or more and was a rival with an ongoing feud with President Andrew Jackson. And President Andrew Jackson believed in states' rights, in the ability of the states in the eastern states to control and govern all of their lands, including Indian land. So when Jackson did the Indian Removal Act to remove Indian jurisdiction over lands in the states back east, Marshall very conveniently had three Indian law cases come up to the Supreme Court and ruled that, and finding nothing in the Constitution, Chief Justice Marshall used international law to create a federal trust relationship with Indians, not just tribal governments. The problem there is that those three rulings in 1830s lit the match for Congress, and because no Congress and no president had ever created this federal trust relationship, it was legislating from the bench. Chief Justice John Marshall in 1830, using international law, created the trust relationship with Indian tribes. That lit the match in 1830, and then, as you see in the letter that I wrote to President Trump, it just started increasingly escalating, where Congress created the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Congress had made them, went through a period of time where they were trying to end the reservation system in the late 1880s. And in 1924, as you said, all American Indians were made citizens. But 10 years later, in 1934, a communist by the name, and I mean an avowed communist and author of many communist books, became the Commissioner of Indian Affairs. And he wrote and got Congress to pass the Indian Reorganization Act. The key word there is reorganize. At the time, in 1934, there were about 75 tribes across the country that were to be reorganized and given their separate lands and allowed to live communally. That's what the Indian Reorganization Act was all about. However, we now have 573 tribal governments across the country because the Bureau of Indian Affairs didn't just reorganize. They started creating new tribes and authorizing new tribes. And, of course, as they increased the number of tribes, they had to increase the number of staffing in the BIA. So we have a very bloated agency creating new tribes every year and new reservations every year that are just burdening, I mean severely burdening, states across the country. So that's kind of a nutshell. Then when gaming came on, it just exploded even more so in 1988. And that's when Washington State took the biggest hit because you have so many gaming casinos. And our taxpayers annually subsidize all the basic needs of a tribal government, the health, education, tribal courts, everything, law enforcement. Our annual taxpayers fund the basic needs of all the tribes, so their gaming and casino money is what I call free money. And they use that to purchase elected officials, buy more land, buy spend legal counsel, and lobbyists to go get more from Congress. So it's just, our tribes are inordinately wealthy in contrast to the host counties. And in contrast to the lifestyle of the tribal members on the reservation, they don't see the money. It's just a travesty. The whole thing needs to come down. We need to be one nation, Americans, not hyphenated Americans, not Hispanic Americans, Native Americans, Black Americans. We need to be Americans, all under the same law of our Constitution. That's my pitch.
As somebody who is of Native American heritage, what do you mean by ethnic taxation? And can you describe how actually tribal members have suffered under a lot of these things that have been put in place over the years?
Oh, yes. Well, let me talk about the suffering, because one of the first things, and thankfully this statute is up to the Supreme Court now and may be taken down. I certainly hope so. We had the tribal lobbyists go in 1978, I think it was, and they told Congress, our cultures, we're losing our cultures. Our children are being adopted by non-Native families, and we're losing our cultures. So Congress gave them the Indian Child Welfare Act. That Indian Child Welfare Act transferred parental authority of our tribal families across the country to the tribal government. The tribal government has full authority over every enrollable child 18 and under. And that means that if a tribal family should get out of line on their reservation or disagree with the tribal council subject, they can get a knock on the door from Child Protective Services, the tribe's CPS, and they can be told, you're a bad parent, we're taking your child. The tribal government has weaponized the Indian Child Welfare. Most of the tribal governments have weaponized that Indian Child Welfare Act as a way to control their families. And the parents have no authority over their children. That is just one aspect of the suffering, that and the fact that the reservation lifestyle and quality of life remains at the poverty level on all of the reservations, with the single exception of a few very wealthy tribes in California that have major million-dollar casino, million-dollar daily casinos, and maybe five members in the tribe. You know, it's just a big mess, Matt. The whole thing is a big mess.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to answer the ethnic taxation. This is kind of a new area that I'm probing, and I'm drafting an article on it now. But it came up, I've been following the election process across the country, and I've been hearing a lot of the Democratic candidates raising the suggestion that we need to do reparations for slavery. And at the same time, I'm hearing them talk about we need free education, free health care for the illegal immigrants. And that caused me to think about, well, now, wait a minute. who's paying the taxes and who's paying for all this? According to the IRS, only about 50% of our American population is paying taxes. And among those taxes, they're already paying billions of dollars to support tribal governments on top. You know, generally, I claim no expertise on taxes, Matt, but generally speaking, I understand that federal taxes and state taxes are used to provide the services back to all Americans, either at the federal level or the state level. So here we have American taxpayers having a chunk of their money targeted solely to tribal governments every year. So I call that ethnic taxation. It's a burden on the American taxpayer we do not need. And on the second piece, should it come to pass that we do reparations for slavery when no one alive today had a thing to do with that, then you're going to take a chunk of those taxes or burden that taxpayer to pay for the reparations. And if they keep going down this road of ethnic taxation, then we're going to have to provide illegal immigrants and with free schools, free health care, free this, free that. And the burden falls on that same half of the American population that pays all these taxes. There's something wrong with that. We should not have taxation based on ethnicity or diversity. But I had not realized that diversity has truly climbed into the tax system. And I'm just exploring that now. I've got more to learn and then more to say about it later. What do you think?
Well, I think that right now the way that the tax system was initially intended was to be equal across the board for everybody. And the only real tax that can do that is a consumption tax. Not all of these other taxes for specific activities or this or that, you know, based on where you live or how much money you make or all this stuff, because that was a Marxist idea to have a progressive income tax. And I think that the fact of the matter is when you take the fruits of somebody else's labor, then you're actually taking away their ability to be free, to truly live liberty. And so I guess this kind of dovetails into my next question, and that is, you've talked to a lot of tribal members. What do they think about Donald Trump? And what do they think about the way the current system is run? I'm talking actual tribal members, not people that might be benefiting off the way the current system is operating.
Well, I have lived on three separate reservations for the last 30 years. I currently live on the Flathead Reservation in western Montana. And so most of my friends over the years have been tribal families and tribal members. I can't speak for the reservations I previously lived on, but I have visited back in Wisconsin just a couple of weeks ago, the reservation I used to live on. It's kind of interesting. As long as the tribal families are quiet and they trust you, they will whisper support for Trump, but they dare not speak that to their tribal governments. So there is a voice out there among the tribal members who support Trump. It's a very silent voice to protect themselves from their own tribal government.
And what do they specifically like about Trump? I mean, what is their positive reaction to Trump?
Well, it's interesting because I think the job opportunities is a little better on some of the reservations. I think just generally speaking, they like where he's coming from. I received a call from a woman in Shawnee, Oklahoma, just about a month ago. And on a reservation there, she's an enrolled tribal member. And she voiced something that I'm hearing more and more often. American Indians are Indians, regardless of whether they're enrolled or not. But tribal governments will say, oh, you're not Indian unless you're enrolled. There are a number of tribal members today that I hear from across the country who would be just fine without a reservation and just fine without a tribal government, but they would always honor their ancestry, their family cultures and traditions, because they're very proud, as they should be, to be American Indian. And so that voice is out there too, but that voice may not speak up on reservations. They can quietly call me, and they can quietly discuss with very close friends they trust, but they cannot you know, they're under a pretty, the tribal governments are not Republican form. There's no due process there. They don't have the Bill of Rights. They don't have the 14th Amendment as an enrolled tribal member. So they have to be very cautious. They don't have free speech like you and I do. But what I'm hearing more and more recently, not so much years ago, but more and more recently, is they'd be fine, that they would always be Indian and always honor their traditions and cultures and family practices, with or without a tribal government or reservation. And I kind of think that speaks well of those folks, too.
Well, I think, you know, I think I've actually seen that with other folks that have immigrated to this country, the Slavic community, the Vietnamese community, the Chinese community, the Irish community.
Yes.
They kept their, you know, we keep cultures and traditions and the best parts of them anyway. You know, and that's
course.
What America's about.
It is what America's about. We are that melting pot. But it's an individual decision to honor your ancestry or not. But we have one ethnicity that has convinced Congress it has to be paid to support its ethnicity or they'll be extinct. Now, that's just bogus. That's almost as bad as we were her first. You stole our land, which is also not true. And about how severely the white man has treated the Indian, which is true in some cases, but not all. But what is not given very big address in history books and whatnot is how brutal the Indian tribes were with each other long before the settlers even came. You know what I mean? So there's an awful lot of misinformation out there. And my studies are based on congressional statutes and existing law, Supreme Court rulings, and things of that matter. And then and working hard to take the most painful ones down. I belong to a national organization that has been very helpful in moving the Indian Child Welfare Act up to the Supreme Court to be given a serious look. And I really think that the economic wealth of tribal governments should cause Congress to stop the tax exemption of those casino dollars. Those casino dollars are tax exempt, and they are dollars going into slot machines that are not available to go into the private sector marketplaces in the host communities. They're closing down a lot of taxable private sector businesses because the money's going into the tax-exempt casinos. And that's an economic harm to the host community when that same tribal government may have an annual operating budget 50 times the counties. You know what I mean? It's just disgusting.
Yeah, and I mean, I look at it, it is disgusting because all of this is control over people. I mean, that's, you know, just the bottom line. In the last 5 minutes that we've got, I want to ask you, what do you think is going to happen in the next couple of years? The election coming up here in 2020, the lead up to the election. I mean, where do you see the country going from your perspective?
Well, I take great comfort in looking back historically. I think, you know, historically, I don't know how we survived the Civil War, but we did. I don't even know how we became a country in the Revolutionary War, but we did. We've come through World War One and World War Two. We've come through Vietnam. We've come through the '60s, and so many things that tore the country apart over the years. We seem to be a country that kind of muddles along, one step forward, two back. But we seem to be a country of muddlers that fundamentally believe in our country, but fight like cats with each other. And on that note, I think this 2020 election is another illustration of that. But we are in a time of peace and prosperity. We're not in a time of violence. We're in a time of violent threats and words. But the country's economy is good. Lifestyles are getting better. A lot of things are getting better. And I kind of think that the far extreme positions of the liberals and the AOCs of the world are so outrageous that I think the general American voter is frightened of that. And I think they will keep President Trump in office in a big way. I really do.
I think so.
That's my prayer anyway, but I think they will. I mean, some of this stuff is just crazy.
It is crazy. I think so, too. And we're seeing a lot of violence from the Marxists, and it just seems like it's yeah. ramping up. Yeah. Well, yes. If you can, plug for the listeners very quickly, where can they go to find out more information about you?
Well, they can Google my name, Elaine Willman, W-I-L-L-M-A-N, and a lot of YouTube videos comes up, and or you can go to, or my books are on Amazon and all the book websites. I welcome an email, any questions or inquiries. My email is Toppin, T as in Tom, T-O-P-P-I-N, at AOL.com. I'm happy to speak with anyone about this and answer any questions, and I don't need people to agree with me. You know, somebody that disagrees with me causes me to think my situation through, and I appreciate a good debate. So folks don't have to agree with me, but I welcome the opportunity to share what I know and what I care about with everyone I can, Matt. And I really appreciate you inviting me on your program this afternoon.
Absolutely. Any final comments for the listeners out there? We got about a minute.
Just stand up for Washington State. And get a Republican governor and get the conservatives back protecting that state. You know, that's my hope for my childhood state.
Well, Elaine, thank you very much for being on Patriot Radio today. Everybody, Elaine Willman, and you're not just an expert, you're always encouraging. God bless you.
Thank you, Matt. And you take care and keep up your fine work, too.
Will do. We will keep up the fight here in Washington. All right. Be blessed.
Okay. All right. Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
Again, Elaine Willman. And you can check out a couple of things that she works on, This West is Our West, and a couple of other sites as well. Very, very knowledgeable on what's happening, particularly with water rights in this part of the United States of America. And, you know, the history of how it came to be. It was interesting that a George Soros-funded media outlet tried to label her anti-Indian, even though she actually lives on a reservation and is of Native American heritage. So you know when you see that kind of stuff that they're trying to suppress the truth, and particularly the truth that nobody wants to be controlled like that or live in that kind of fear. We want freedom. We want to be able to take the best of our heritage, and we want to remember those things and remember where our family came from and remember the stories and the heroes. And that's a good thing. Those are good things. But we're Americans too. And that is a good thing. The fact that this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and that is irrefutable according to the historical record. There's just, you cannot say otherwise. The first two founding documents, the Articles of Confederation, the United Colonies, and on and on and on it goes, including the Declaration of Independence, which had two legal terms of art, the law of nature and nature's God, defined in the commentaries on the Law of England by Sir William Blackstone. That's good, and that our Republican form of government is good, that freedom and liberty is good, and that America has brought prosperity and many good things to the entire world. And more appropriately, the Lord has been able to do that through us. So tonight, take a look at those two Bible verses I mentioned at the beginning, Psalm 2 and Revelations 5:1. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one.